How did you feel about being pregnant? What was your very first reaction? I think sometimes we aren't honest with ourselves or others about the incredible mix of emotions that can come up when we realize it's really happening. The two lines, the plus sign, or the digital readout is very clear. There's going to be a baby at the end of these 9 months. And honestly, how do I feel about that? Is it okay to admit being scared? To feeling regret? Is it okay, after years of trying and tons of money, to feel ambivalent about the whole thing? Yep, it is. And more than okay, it's totally normal.
Welcome. My name is Barb Buckner Suarez. For over 2 decades, I've worked as a childbirth educator and a couples coach, helping thousands of families say yes to parenting. I've got some thoughts about how life changes when we choose to become parents. Those thoughts may be irreverent, funny, or countercultural at times, but I promise you, they will always be real. Whether you're curious about starting a family, in the middle of your fourth pregnancy, or your birthing days are long over, raising the next generation is hard. And all of us could use a little more support. I want this to be a place where you can find that support. Because let's face it, birth happens.
So you may have felt disconnected from your pregnancy or from your baby at the start of this whole thing. And maybe the idea of a shared intimacy between just you and the little one within was something you were expecting to happen. And either it was a long time coming, or maybe you're still waiting for it to start. It's okay if this has been your experience. Being honest about your feelings, at the very least with yourself, is so important for the lifelong journey that is parenting. I think we need to start by covering some of the more common but not often discussed reactions to finding out you're pregnant. Disbelief. The cramps and spotting at the very beginning of your pregnancy may have been confusing, and you may have even thought, I'm not pregnant, I'm just about to get my period. So when your period never comes and you finally take the test, you might not quite believe it. Fear. If it took you a while to get pregnant, or if you've had any previous losses, you might be afraid that this pregnancy won't actually stick. And so you don't allow yourself to get too excited or too attached. But even if this wasn't your path to pregnancy, a lot of folks are surprised when their feelings of fear outweigh any feelings of excitement. Impatience. While 9 months will end up feeling like forever to you, those first several weeks between peeing on the stick and getting in to see a provider can drive you a little bit nuts. You want someone official to confirm your pregnancy and let you know everything's okay. Anxiety. What if everything isn't okay? Enter the infamous Dr. Google. This guy is not your friend at any point during your pregnancy, y'all. Because if something has ever happened to anyone anywhere in the world, it will end up on the internet and you'll find 2 billion hits about it in a nanosecond. And then you'll be sitting in a pool of anxiety until your first visit with a provider. Sick. For some folks, the pregnancy test confirms what all the puking's been about. Depending on how your body reacts to pregnancy, you may be really surprised by how bad you feel in general. Nausea and exhaustion to levels that you've never experienced before for periods of time that don't even begin to make sense to you can throw you for a loop and have you asking, can somebody tell me why getting pregnant was a good idea? Y'all, the emotions of pregnancy, right from the very start, even before the hormones kick in, can make you feel like you'll never connect to the little person inside of you. And depending on lots of other factors throughout your pregnancy, you can feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster. But the interesting thing is that there's only two riders, you and your baby. You climb into the back seat of your green Saturn wagon with your brand new baby. But instead of securing her into the little bucket car seat in the middle of the back, the safest place for the baby to be, so you've been told, and then climbing up front to the passenger seat, you tell your husband, I'm just going to sit back here. You don't get an argument. In fact, you notice that he's driving slower than you've ever seen anyone drive a car, following every traffic sign to the letter, continuously muttering under his breath something about all the crazy people that are driving too fast or too close or too... Don't they understand we have a brand new baby in the car? There's this weird mixture of excitement and sheer panic that manifests as something solid in the pit of your stomach. Just a few days ago, this little person was inside of you, but now she's here, and the enormity of what has happened hits you full force. You are now responsible for someone else in a way that you never have been before. You're responsible for someone else's life. You can't decide if you want to go back and hug the nurse who wheeled you out to the car with a cheery, "Congratulations, you'll do great," or punch her in the face. Maybe there's a third option. Couldn't she come and live with you just for a little while, till you get the hang of this new parenting thing? The drive, which usually takes only 3 minutes, feels like it's taking 3 weeks. And that may have something to do with your husband driving 10 miles under the speed limit, but maybe it's okay that it's taking a while. It gives you a minute or two to try and catch your breath and steady yourself. People do this every day, you think. Every single day, people all over the world are parenting their children. This thought doesn't bring you the comfort you were hoping for, but you keep repeating it as a mantra over and over in your head anyway. As you pull up in front of your house, you realize how much has changed in such a short time frame. 9 months of pregnancy seemed like too long of a wait to meet your baby, but now that she's here, another 3 months of her inside of you might have been a better idea. Your husband parks and jumps out to gather up all the crap that you brought with you for the birth. It was long and hard and nothing like you expected it to be. It definitely did not go according to plan. Even so, there was a lot of extra stuff that you thought would be essential for your birth that you didn't even pull out of the bag. Oh well. You take stock of how your birth ended up. A few more interventions than you'd hoped for, but still, you feel good about it. Your birth support team and your partner were amazing, and you feel like you made the best decisions you could as birth happened in real time. Your husband returns to the car to grab the birth ball and your extra pillows, and these did get used. A lot. You stay in the back of the car with your gorgeous little girl while all of this is going on. She's sleeping peacefully in her little seat, her eyes fluttering slightly as she... Do babies dream at only 2 days old? You look at her cute little squishy nose, her tiny rosebud lips, her impossibly small fingernails, and wonder at it all. You did this thing. This miraculous thing. Of bringing a brand new human being through your body and into this world. And even if you are nervous, the reality of that accomplishment builds you up, at least for the moment. Your husband comes around to the side of the car and helps you out. He climbs into the back to unhook the car seat and ever so gently lifts your baby out. And you walk together as a new family up the front steps of your house. And as you cross the threshold, you realize how much your life has changed. Even your house has been forever changed. It has become a home. This was how I remembered our first trip home from the hospital with our brand new baby. Does this resonate? How did you feel as you made your way home? Did your house feel different to you now that you were bringing a baby into it?
I'm someone who always loved the game Truth or Dare. I love the idea that if people play by the rules, each player can choose whether they want to tell the whole truth about something or keep a secret in exchange for following through on a dare. Either choice requires courage and vulnerability. Depending on who I was playing with, I sometimes went with the truth. Other times, I went with a dare. But the entire time I was playing, I'd feel the zing of being completely present, alive, and excited by the possibility of it all. Now, you might not see the connection of a game of truth or dare to pregnancy, birth, or parenting, but I do. Of course, I see connections to bellies, birth, and babies with just about everything. But here's what I mean. Having a baby requires both truth and daring. I remember asking my older sister when she thought they might start a family, and she responded, "Not for a while. I think we both realize that we're too selfish to bring a baby into our relationship right now." Whoa, that's an honest answer. She went on to give birth very selflessly to two wonderful children once they were ready. Deciding to have a baby requires people to get honest about their feelings, about themselves as individuals, their relationship as a couple, differing parenting styles. Lots of truth-seeking behavior goes on in the lead-up to trying to make a baby. But the process of making the baby requires daring. Whether it's quick and easy or incredibly hard and frustrating, finally finding success requires courage. The realization of what you've just locked yourself into after reading the positive pregnancy test results can leave you with some mixed emotions. I'm so excited. Oh my God, I'm terrified. I don't know how to feel. There's at least one day in every single one of my pregnancies where I had the thought, what the hell were we thinking? But you forge ahead, daring enough to think that you'll be able to get through 9 months of a pregnancy, despite morning sickness, despite limited funds for a home remodel and baby supplies, despite being thousands of miles away from your family. You find that on some days, you need to speak your truth about how you really hate being pregnant, even though you wanted it for so long. About how you're worried about being able to provide support for your new family. About your nervousness that this baby will change your relationship, and not in a good way. The day of birth arrives, and you muster up every bit of courage you have to dare greatly and enter into that arena, that space of power and surrender and intuition and a truth that is so much bigger than you are. You dare yourself to move through contractions and speak your truth, to ask questions and make decisions about your birth. You dare any self-doubt to step out of the darkness and into the light. And you hold your head high as you tell the truth of your birth story. It was hard. There were challenges, but you were strong and empowered, and it was beautiful. And as you move from truth to dare and back again in this dance of pregnancy, birth, and parenting, there's one constant, that feeling of being completely present, alive, and full of the possibility of it all. See how it's all connected? Have you discovered your own truth about pregnancy, birth, or parenting? In what ways have these experiences made you feel daring? Daring greatly and entering the arena of birth is my little nod to social scientist and author Brené Brown, who I'm sure would be one of my BFFs. It's just that we haven't met yet. Have you ever stopped to wonder at what happens during the 9 months of pregnancy? Two tiny cells meet, and less than a year later, a whole brand new human being comes through another person's body and into this world. The whole thing is pretty miraculous. It's easy for us to forget that we're miracles too. We were once just like our own little newborn, full of wonder, fresh and young. We looked at the world and all that was in it with awe. We gazed up at our own parents and thought, they seem pretty spectacular. If I cry, they come to see what's up. They change my nasty diapers and feed me this delicious stuff called milk. They cuddle me and talk softly to me and kiss me all the time. I totally lucked out in the parenting department. As we begin our own parenting journey, we can be anxious about trying to do it all just right. We can become paralyzed about trying to parent perfectly. But the idea of parenting perfection needs to get dropped quickly, y'all, or it might just destroy you. There's no such thing as parenting perfection. Webster defines perfection as something that cannot be improved. I would hope that my day-to-day parenting would always allow for improvement. That way I can cut myself a little bit of slack on the days that don't go so well. I can take a deep breath and try to remember that I haven't done this thing before. Parenting a newborn is really one of the hardest jobs ever. Why? Well, it's totally on-the-job training. And while it can be really helpful to go to some classes and read some books, honestly, the only way you're going to learn how to be a parent is by being a parent. It's dirty, stinky work, and it'll be at least 3 months before your boss starts to give you any feedback that you're doing a good job. Your coworker is also incredibly tired and cranky, and no matter what you might think, as clueless as you are about how this is all supposed to work. Your life, as you once knew it, has been completely turned upside down, and it'll take a while before you can claim anything to be your new normal. But on those days you find yourself doubting your abilities as a new parent, it's good to remember that you were once a newborn too, entrusted to your own set of parents. And while they may not have been anything close to perfection in the parenting department, you made it through okay. Now here you are, ready to try your own hand at this. I hope there's both relief and humility in this realization. Now you understand what your parents went through as they tried their very hardest to do their best in parenting you. But there's also more than a little bit of wiggle room to figure it out on your own without having to strive for perfection. Each day is a chance to improve upon the swaddle, the latch, the baby bath. Each day is a chance to let go of perfection and instead embrace wonder, to see the world through your baby's eyes, a world that is new and fresh and full of awe. Remember, your baby gazes at you and thinks, "Wow, I have totally lucked out in the parenting department." You've been entrusted with this new life, but your life as a family is also new. It'll never be perfect, y'all, and that's okay. Perfection is not real, and the illusion of it, way overrated. So parent well. Some days, maybe just good enough. And feel secure in the knowledge that no one else has ever done this thing perfectly either. What a relief. What if your whole life you really wanted to be a parent? What if you and your partner tried for a long time to get pregnant and it finally happened? What if you weren't in the right relationship and found yourself surprised by a pregnancy? What if you chose to do this whole thing on your own? What if, no matter what the circumstances surrounding your pregnancy, you were immediately, eventually, finally, reluctantly happy about it? So many questions. But what I'm trying to get at is that no matter the circumstances or level of happiness you might have had about your pregnancy, it's possible that once that dream is realized and your baby arrives, you might not be feeling the way you expected to feel about your little one. Maybe you're having a hard time getting through the baby blues everyone told you to be on the lookout for. Baby blues are a normal postpartum experience and are all about hormonal readjustment. The hormones that were necessary for a healthy pregnancy give way to the hormones that are necessary to make milk for the baby. This shift in hormones is fast and furious, y'all, but should begin to taper off a couple weeks after your baby's birth. But maybe this normal hormonal fluctuation feels way more intense and random than you expected. It can feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster. First you're up, then you're down. And next you are flying through corkscrew turns at breakneck speed before starting all over again. What if these baby blues don't go away? It's so important to check in with your partner, especially around that 2-week mark, just to pause and share honestly how you're feeling. If you're able to breathe a huge sigh of relief because you're feeling more like yourself again, like the emotional roller coaster has finally come to a complete stop, then you're on your way. But if these feelings are not lessening and being replaced by more positive feelings about yourself, your partner, and your baby, then you want to be on the lookout for a potential PMAD, perinatal mood or anxiety disorder. This used to be called postpartum depression, but it makes more sense to talk about mood or anxiety disorders because not everyone presents with depression. It's also important to call them perinatal and not postpartum, because now we know that mood disorders can start in pregnancy long before the baby's birth. Now we include other emotions like anxiety, rage, and OCD, so folks know what to look for and when to check in with their provider if they're not feeling more like themselves in a relatively short period of time. Listen, y'all. In this country, 1 out of 7 birthing folks and 1 out of 10 partners are at risk of experiencing a PMAD. Hormonal fluctuations, challenging birth experiences, living far from our families of origin, lacking a strong support network, societal expectations that we'd be back at our desks and ready to work way too soon, and pressures from social media to only share good and positive emotions are all contributing factors to these high numbers. It's important to talk about this and share widely because no matter what the circumstances of our pregnancy, labor, and birth, we're often fed the myth that parenting a newborn should be the happiest time of our lives. Just think about the pictures you see in any parenting magazine. Can you think of even one example that doesn't show an impossibly perfect and well-put-together parent positively glowing as they hold their gorgeous, smiling baby who apparently never cries? I'm just arguing that for most folks, the reality of early parenting looks nothing like this. When the expectations for our babies, partners, and ourselves are so incredibly high, the gap that exists between those expectations and our reality has got to be a contributing factor for the development of a PMAD. The symptoms of PMADs can include the following: frequent sadness or crying, changes in appetite, not being able to sleep or sleeping all the time, feeling emotionally numb, helpless, or despairing, being irritable or having surges of anger, feeling guilty, not being able to concentrate, having a lot of anxiety or panic about caring for the baby or the health of the baby, lack of sex drive, and lack of feelings for your baby. Now, some of these symptoms can be experienced by almost every person postpartum at one point or another. So really, it's the frequency in which you're experiencing these symptoms that matters more. If you recognize yourself in any of the above symptoms, you might be experiencing a perinatal mood or anxiety disorder, and I want to provide you with a message of hope. What you're feeling means nothing about you as a parent. It doesn't reflect anything on how much you love your baby, and it does not mean that you'll never feel connected to your baby. There's an amazing organization that can help called Postpartum Support International. This organization is key to identifying perinatal mood or anxiety disorders for pregnant and birthing folks, as well as their partners. PSI has been helping families find light in the darkness for decades. You can call or text 1-800-944-4773 and someone will get back to you for help and support. That number again, and I'll put it in the show notes, 1-800-944-4773. You are not alone. One of the biggest barriers to getting help when you're experiencing a PMAD is the stigma of asking for help. Parenting was never meant to happen in isolation, y'all. This is most definitely not a DIY activity. And if you're struggling with any of it, again, you are not alone. We need to push back against the idea that we should wear a fake smile and never admit to anyone that we need help, not even to ourselves. Because once you receive the help that you need and that you so deserve, you'll be parenting a lot closer to how you were hoping. Parenting a newborn is hard, stinky, thankless work sometimes, but it should also be something that can bring you joy. I want that for you. I hope this message of hope reaches you so that you can reach out for help. It's this help that will make you feel whole and hopeful again. Do the symptoms listed here of a PMAD resonate with you? Are you just now realizing that how you're feeling might be more than just baby blues? Please reach out for help and share this with anyone who you think may be experiencing a PMAD. And listen to this important message from Postpartum Support International. You are not alone. You are not to blame. With help, you will be well.
I've often wished that I could clone myself, not for any weird reasons. I think there really should only be one unique version of us in the world. It's just that there's an awful lot I'd like to accomplish with this one wild life I've been given, and sometimes it feels like too much for just one of me to get it all done. Something I really wish I had more time to do is help parents process their birth stories. On a small scale, I'm doing this already. My contact information is given out to all the families I work with, and I remind them often how much I love birth stories. When my classes are gathered for reunions, I try to spend time listening to the birth stories of each of the families there. I'm looking for key information and ways to reframe if needed, so they can begin to look at their story with new eyes. I want them to know where they were strong. I want them to acknowledge who supported them and how specifically, and I want them to be proud of their level of participation in this life-changing event. In short, I want them to have a birth story they will look back on as a positive experience that informs who they are now as a person, partner, friend, professional. I want them to recognize and honor all that they've gone through, the hero's journey that they've traveled in a matter of hours or days that marks their lives to be forever different, forever changed in ways obvious and hidden, even to themselves. So, you know, nothing too important. I'm happy to say that most of the folks I've had the honor of working with over the years have been able to have a positive birth story to tell, despite it looking nothing like this, at least on the surface. While a lot of this has to do with the individual's attitude, flexibility and openness to responding to birth as it unfolds in real time, expanding expectations, and embracing vulnerability, I'd like to think that maybe they learn more about this from being in one of my classes and then I help prepare them in ways that allow them to process the reality of their birth experience. But what about those who haven't had a positive birth experience? Maybe birth happened just last week, or maybe it happened 20 years ago. All too often, these folks are told that a healthy mama, healthy baby is all that matters, and they don't get to finish processing this event in a way that allows them to move forward with their parenting journey. It's my theory that these people continue to process their birth stories as I feel they must until they can come to some form of closure. The issue is who they're processing with, oftentimes unsuspecting and extremely vulnerable pregnant people. I hear about it happening all the time in my classes. Folks complain about how all they hear are the horror stories that others, many of them complete strangers, tell them about their own birth experiences. But I think this is happening on a subconscious level. I don't believe for a second that someone processing their birth with a pregnant person is intentionally trying to scare them with a negative birth story. I just think it's the loop they find themselves caught in as they try to make meaning from this experience that was life-changing, but not in a positive way. I wish I could meet all of these folks, sit with them, and listen deeply to their stories. I'd let them process as much or as little as they felt able to do. And maybe in the retelling of their story, I could try to help them reframe and then reclaim their story as their own. Because when birth goes sideways, a little or a lot, what happens is the birthing person and their partner, if they have one, cease to be the protagonist in their hero's journey of birth. They all too often feel sidelined, and the story becomes one of, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. They're no longer speaking as heroes, but as victims. If they were able to see, maybe for the first time, where they were strong, who supported them and how, maybe then they could finally begin to integrate this experience into who they are now. And through this reclaiming, they could break free of the processing loop they feel trapped into sharing with unsuspecting, vulnerable pregnant people. But because I can't clone myself, damn it, I created a writing exercise that I call Retelling and Reclaiming Your Birth Story, an exercise to give meaning to your experience. I've also created a version for the partner parent because their experience of birth is sometimes radically different than our own. In fact, you might be feeling like your birth was positive and an empowering experience, but your partner may feel like it was traumatic. Each of us looks at this huge life experience from our own individual perspective. I think my invitation to retell and reclaim your birth story can be helpful as a tool to get the details of your birth down in a way that has some structure. This can end up being a beautiful gift to your baby. You could read it to them on their birthday every year, and they'll have this to refer to, maybe even in preparation for the time when they're ready to have children of their own. I'd like to make this available to anyone who's had a negative birth experience that they haven't been able to process over the years. I really do believe it can be a tool of healing and integration. I'm not a professional counselor, and I make no claims that this is therapy. But in the busyness of our daily living, we've forgotten the power of story and how it can transform us. And I think every person deserves that opportunity for transformation. If you or your partner or anyone you know would be interested in receiving a copy of this writing exercise, the link will be added to the show notes of today's episode. It can be the starting point to help you integrate the birth experience into the person and the parent you are today. Emotional intimacy is hard, y'all. We spend most of our lives searching for it in relationship with others, our parents, our partners, our children, our friends. But how much time do we spend exploring our own emotional landscape? How honest are we with ourselves about how we're feeling day to day? What would happen if we got real with ourselves about the emotions we have about pregnancy, birth, and parenting? I'm going to offer you three short exercises here. If you're sitting and feeding your baby right now and don't have access to a journal, no worries. It's enough to sit and just be with what comes up for you in these exercises. If you'd like to capture this during a quiet moment later in the day, please do that for yourself. You may find it helpful to share this with your partner or a trusted friend, family member, or your therapist. A copy of this could make its way into the baby book or box of memories for your child to discover later in life. Who knows? It might just help them to be more real about the emotional journey of parenthood. Depending on where you are in your parenting journey, you can choose to explore the emotions surrounding the idea of starting a family, what emotions you've experienced during pregnancy, how labor and birth brought you face to face with some intense emotions, or the roller coaster ride of emotions you've been on since becoming a parent. You could also choose to explore all of it from start to finish. Answer these questions to capture the obvious emotions, those bobbing along on the surface. But then pause and take three deep grounding breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth to explore and discover the emotions that might be swimming much deeper down below. When I said yes to becoming a parent, I felt. Breathe. I also felt. Breathe. During those long 9 months of pregnancy, I felt breathe. I also felt when I was in labor and birth, the emotions that I came face to face with were breathe. I also felt parenthood has been a roller coaster ride of emotions. I've felt breathe. I've also felt sometimes we get so fixated on our own experience for good reason that we forget that our partners might have their own set of emotions around all the things. What we might not realize is that our partner's experience of pregnancy, birth, and parenting are often considered afterthoughts to what's happening to the person who's obviously pregnant. This is unfair and only contributes to the stunting of emotional growth during a time when there's so much potential for you and your partner to grow closer together. So you might encourage them to answer the same questions for themselves. Their experience will likely be very different than yours. It would be strange if it weren't. Becoming a family brings up all kinds of emotions, and unless and until we get honest and real about those emotions, we can't be fully present with what we're experiencing right now. If this exercise brings up any emotions for either one of you that would benefit from having a professional help you navigate and process them, please reach out to your local chapter of Postpartum Support International. Again, you can call or text 1-800-944-4773 to talk with someone who can help you navigate next steps. This episode was a doozy, y'all. Emotional intimacy is something that healthy humans crave. And emotions are a huge part of what goes into raising the next generation. When we call out the full range of emotions that pregnancy, birth, and parenting bring up for us and our partners, we're able to get real with one another. We can start to let go of perfection and instead embrace the overall emotion of parenthood, vulnerability. And that, my friends, is where all the magic happens. I hope today's discussion of emotional intimacy was helpful to you. If so, would you do me the favor of heading over to your favorite podcasting platform and hit that little subscribe button? You could even write up a review if you got the time. I'd love it if you'd share Birth Happens with your friends and family. And please drop me a note about what's hitting the target and what's missing the mark. Season 2 is already underway, but I'm always wanting to provide my listeners with the content that you're looking for. Ideas are always encouraged and always welcomed. I believe connection is everything, y'all, and I'm so thrilled to be making this connection with you. Please check out the resources in today's show notes, and I'll see you next time on Birth Happens.